Hello, everybody. Jeremy Einbinder and Heather Warburton here with State of the Revolution. It's been a while since we've done one of these, but today we are talking about Paul Robeson and largely his testimony to the House Un-American Activities Committee, which was a thing during the McCarthy era, and it's the government tried really hard to crack down on communist thought. Mainly, I think they targeted Robeson because he was an important black celebrity, and he said that himself in his testimony. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how activism of that nature, fighting for the rights of colonized people, relates to today, especially in the wake of heightened police violence, in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, and in response to the protest against police brutality that caused more police brutality, and how the government really just wants to shut the left up from doing anything substantive in order to better the lives of the most oppressed people on earth. So we're going to talk about that today, and this is going to be an interesting discussion. Lots of tie-ins, lots of contemporary examples to draw in, and this was over 50 years ago. So let's start it off. Heather?
So I guess I wanted to give a little quick backstory for anyone who didn't know who Paul Robeson was, that he was from Jersey. He was a fellow New Jerseyan. So, and his father was a runaway slave. So he was directly only one step away from slavery. But he was the third Black American to attend Rutgers, football player, singer, actor, lawyer. He spoke 10 languages. Like, he was really kind of the true Renaissance man and one of the forefathers of, the social justice and civil rights movement, but kind of got buried by history, that people don't say his name along with when they're saying the names of, some other civil rights greats, that his name really isn't up there and really should have been for because he was way sort of ahead of his time and being a thinker and an activist.
It seems a lot harder to sanitize the legacy of Paul Robeson than it is to sanitize the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. Because as Paul Robeson in talked about colonialism and defended the Soviet Union against charges of inequality in some circumstances because they were more racially equal in his eyes than the United States. And that was a scary thought that some other countries trying to explore a different economic system could do anything better than the United States could. Now, of course, the government didn't really care about the rights of Black people and other marginalized identities. But socialist countries at least tried to, and America did not. And it was also hard to shut Robeson up, in my opinion, because he was a celebrity, because he was an entertainer, because people liked him. It was a little bit more difficult to like someone like Martin Luther King Jr. or Malcolm X because all they were doing was making speeches, and people got annoyed by politics all the time.
Right, so he came into it with a little bit of celebrity to begin with. He wasn't just known for being an activist. He was known for this amazing bass baritone voice, for example. And they already kind of, liked him already. So he was an easier.
Paul, that's a good
Yeah,
guy. I
Paul
like.
Robeson. And like you could tell how charismatic he was in the recordings. Like he says things, and you actually kind of hear people at the House of, the Un-American Committee, Un-American Activities Committee. Like he when he pre pleads the fifth one time, he's like, "I plead the fifth, and forget about it." And you actually hear people giggling. Like he so was commanding that room that you could tell he was someone who was used to being a performer because he performed so well in this.
Yeah, he did.
Everybody else seemed like morons compared to him.
He said at one point that he does not see success in terms of himself. He's as in terms of the whole of his people. It's encompass the entire colonized population of Africa and African Americans in neocolonialized America. So always, he was basically saying that the success of a few black people doesn't erase the oppression of black people as a class. And that's an important point to make. Because at one point, one of the airmen, or maybe another one, I'm not sure, or who's at it, but he's, and I used to play football at Rutgers. I remember seeing you play football at Lehigh. Graduated with a law degree. Yeah, there's no oppression against you. And that's something someone could say to, you know, LeBron James. You play basketball for a living. There's no oppression against you. No, I don't know, you know, oh, the political beliefs of LeBron James or even Colin Kaepernick for that matter. I'm not sure, you know, how revolutionary either of them are. But I do know that they paid attention to the injustices of people who look like them. And it's up to white people in positions of power to say, what are you complaining about? You know, oh, you're doing fine. Now, in Robinson's case, he was, you know, testifying with HUAC because he was denied the right to travel. And that's a very important right, if you're a singer, an actor, to perform in different places, especially in that time.
Right, and he said in the testimony he applied for a passport like 25 times. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a huge amount of times that he applied for a passport and was denied because he wouldn't sign this affidavit saying he wasn't a communist.
He probably was a communist, but he was trying to say that's beside the point.
Right.
Now, he was restrained in what he could say because he didn't make any comments. He didn't make any affirmative comments about life in the Soviet Union unless they were presented directly to him. And so I think he might have sanitized a bit what he actually thought about the, you know, global system, and focused on the principle of free speech, which I understand if you're under oath, you know, oh, you're trying to avoid prison time, you're gonna say things in such a way that kind of sanitizes your perspective a little bit if you are a communist. So it's likely either Paul Rosen was a communist. He did a talk show appearance in Australia where he talked about, you know, how black people were responsible for the primary wealth of America. And that's basically a plain language version of what Marx called primitive accumulation, which is a principle of how class societies develop. And I believe Marx coined that term, primitive accumulation. Unfortunately, Evie, or just analysis died before the implications of slave society reared their head. So there was a lot that Marx couldn't analyze. You know, it would have been very interesting to see Marx's perspective on, you know, life in the early 1900s for early American black person.
Right. There was a lot he didn't get a chance to analyze that may have led to some interesting conclusions, or basically just showing, you know, what, you know, when all of our wealth came on the backs of people we exploited here, like it was just pure stolen land, stolen people.
Yeah. And now
go ahead. Yeah.
And now we do it with prison labor and, you know, informal employment of undocumented immigrants. So there's wage theft. You could work and not get paid, or you can work or get paid substantially less than you're actually entitled to. And even if you do get paid what you're entitled to, you're still not getting paid enough.
Right. So I kind of wanted to bring it back to the committee a little bit, because I kind of did a little research, you know, before this program, of who some of these committee members were on the Committee for Un-American Activities. And the chair, who you hear him, like, at one point in time, he's like, who am I speaking to? This guy's like, I'm the chair of this committee, and I'm Representative Walter. And so it was interesting. I did a little deep dive on who, you know, Francis Walter was. And he was a Democrat from Pennsylvania, and he was deep into McCarthy. He was a, you know, supporter of McCarthy and really wanted to keep the undesirables out of the country. Mm-hmm. And he was directly responsible for the passing of the Immigration and Naturalization Law, which Robeson actually comments on, of you're trying to keep people like me out of this country, that passed in 1952. And it's interesting that that exact, the immigration and naturalization, is what Trump used to enact his Muslim bans. Like, yeah. You know, this Democrat from Pennsylvania paved the way for what Trump tried to do. Like, and it was from 1952. And that's what Robeson was opposing in this committee. Like, yeah. I stand against your fascism. And yeah. Now, you know, we see that what people, that fascism is still around. Nothing's changed since 1952. Yeah.
Whether you deny people the right to travel, or you force them to travel, or you force them to stay in unsavory working conditions, there are lots of ways to exploit the colonized working class, and Robeson wasn't shy about commenting on any of those. You know, for example, he made it very clear that Black people he has spoken to would definitely not go to war against quote unquote communism, would definitely not go to war against the Soviet Union, because this country, the United States, doesn't represent them either. So he said at one point, the government should protect people on Mississippi, not in the Soviet Union.
Right, yeah, that the government is not protecting people here. Why would people of color go to war against the only country where he himself made a comment that he actually felt like a real man, that he wasn't just seen as a color when he was in the Soviet Union? And he couldn't understand why anyone that looked like him would go to war against the place that where he felt human.
The people who were off that kind of progress. I'm not sure if the anti-communists of the McCarthy era really knew what they were stopping, or actually thought they were preserving quote unquote freedom for the mass of working people in the United States. But there's a possibility that, you know, a communist world might come with it more responsibility for massive European descended people. And if imperialism were to end, that means that white people might have to do some hard work. And maybe that's what they were trying to avoid.
Right, yeah.